Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I am in Long Beach, California today, wandering the aisles of the Scuba Show, largest diving event on the West Coast, if not the country, this weekend. We are recording, however, in advance because of the travel schedule and stuff. So next week, you will hear that show that we produce from the show floor of the Scuba Show. So make sure you tune in for that. But fear not, we have a big show for you today. A lot of stuff to cover. Possibly even Josh Gates from Expedition Unknown. We're waiting to see if we get a call back from him today. We'll see how that works out. However, in the meantime, to kick off today's two-hour radio spectacular, I'm pulling out the big guns. You know who I'm talking about.
They call him
Dr. Doug.
They call him Dr. Doug.
Call him Dr. Doug.
He's moving up his stinking glove.
I don't think he's that kind of doctor, but he is on Scuba Radio. Dr. Doug, how are you, buddy?
Hey, man. Get away from
Doing great. Doing great. Good to hear from you, Greg.
Yes. Are you sure about that? You know, I always question it when I play your song, whether or not you're like, gosh, does he have to do that every time? But I don't know. You know, it's just what we do, and I thank you for just tolerating our nonsense. You hear what I'm saying, Doug?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
It's always entertaining.
Yes. Dr. Doug is what we call him. Dr. Doug Ebersole. Heart surgeon, super tech diver. He does it all. He's quite a guy, and it's been too long. So how have you been?
Oh, can't complain. Working hard, traveling, and so forth. My wife and I got back a couple of weeks ago from the Oztech meeting. It's a technical diving meeting in Sydney, Australia. So that was a fun trip.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, is that a pretty big event? I've heard about it the last few years. Roz from the UK talks about it all, you know, periodically throughout the year. But that's a pretty big tech diving event, isn't it?
Yeah, there were, don't quote me the exact number, but there were over 1,000 people just at the gala dinner on the Saturday night, or the
wow.
Sunday, actually the Sunday night. So there were, thousands of people there. It's actually a pretty big event. It's their 20th year. They do it every other year. So I think it was like the 11th event, but the 20th anniversary of the event.
Now, did you work any diving when you were over there in Australia?
I did not. I was thinking about it. My wife and I actually went. We actually kind of did an extension, went over to New Zealand just to kind of do some touristy stuff. But there actually were people who were doing some diving. I was surprised to hear there's actually diving in the Sydney Harbor. Apparently, there's leafy sea dragons and some other cool stuff actually in the harbor. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Wow.
We went to Australia for our research and development meeting for one of the medical device companies a few years ago. I was asked to go, and after we finished the meeting, we went up to Cairns and did the cod hole ribbon reef seconds. I think you've done that same kind of itinerary before up in Cairns.
Yes. Well, just south of Cairns, I did this one dive I'll never forget. Many years ago when we visited Australia, where we dove this wreck and it was just loaded with sea snakes. And, I mean, they were everywhere. I'd never seen anything like it. And I'm like, wait a minute, aren't sea snakes like the most poisonous snake on the planet or something? Oh, yeah, but they won't bother you. But they literally, this thing was like alive with sea snakes.
Oh, yeah, and they'll swim all through your gear and everything else. It's a little freakish the first time it happens. But they have small little mouths and small little teeth. It'd be really hard for them to to bite you, thankfully.
Yes, and it doesn't happen very often, or no. if at all, I guess, because of that, thank goodness. But yeah, it's kind of weird, you know, they're just kind of, you know, trying to make you a little nervous, I think. Just like sometimes, you know, when someone's going on their first shark dive, the divers that have done it for years know there's nothing to worry about. You poke them a little bit, right? That's just part of the fun.
That's part of the experience, part of the rite of passage, I suppose.
Exactly. I got to get the name of that site, by the way, of that sea snake dive. I've never seen anybody video of it since. But literally, I remember drifting down to the wreck and literally just going, wait, that wreck is moving. And I mean, they were loaded up all over the thing. It was just the weirdest thing. Yeah, good stuff. But yeah, you know, Australia, known for some amazing diving, especially right there in Cairns. And the fact that they got leafy sea dragons right there in Sydney Harbour is kind of bizarre. Come up and see the opera house, the whole thing, I guess, you know, so.
Yeah, we did it was actually kind of fun. It's a very nice event. You know, it's kind of a, like all the scuba shows are, kind of an old home week, you know, getting to see a bunch of people you haven't seen for a while. So, Pete Mesley, who does a lot of the Lust for Rust, or owns the Lust for Rust trips, does a lot of stuff in the South Pacific for wreck diving. He sponsored a party at Manly Island, which is you take a couple of ferries across Sydney.
Wait, hold on. You just said you take a couple ferries over to Manly Island. There's something wrong with this. I'm just saying.
It does sound a little odd, doesn't it?
I couldn't help it.
But it was
kind of
a fun little spot, and we had kind of a group dinner and so forth, and. Yeah. Then the show was on Saturday and Sunday with a lot of different they had three rooms going simultaneously. And the way they did it was fairly interesting. I had not seen this done before because the rooms, you could probably, if people were speaking loudly, you could hear them from room to room. So what they actually did was the speaker spoke into a microphone, and everybody in their room had had some headsets set to a certain channel. So each of the rooms had a different channel, so there wasn't a lot of noise coming in from the other halls, which is kind of an interesting way to do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and well, and of course they had to have the Australian men of the year from the cave diving rescue in Thailand. So that was another presentation like they had kind of at Eurotech back in December. So that was very interesting. You know, nice long presentation about the ins and outs of what really did and what really did not happen during the Thai cave rescues. That was kind of an interesting. Interesting talk.
Well, Dr. Doug, I got to ask you about that because, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we heard about the guy here in Tennessee who had to rescue, you know, get rescued, who was one of the Thai diver rescuers. Did you hear about that story?
I know the guys that went and got them. So that was Ed Sorensen and Mike Young, who owns Kiss Free Breathers. The two of them are the ones that went to go get him. Apparently, I don't know what details have been released, but apparently these guys were relining a cave system, this underwater cave system up there, and they know there's an air bell in the back. And apparently the guy that was laying the new line got separated from the guy who was reeling in the old line. So the guy that had a line out to the surface went back. The other guy tried to find his way out a couple times, realized he wasn't going to have enough air to do that, and he had a line that would go all the way to the back where the air bell was, so he just went back to the air bell and figured people would come get him. And sure enough, they did come. It was actually worked out a lot better than they thought. Ed and Mike thought he was going to be quite hypothermic because he'd been there for 27 hours, but he was actually able, in a dry suit, and able to get up out of the water. So he was completely out of the water. So he was cool and cold, I'm sure, but not hypothermic. And their original plan, I guess, had been to Ed was going to go back and search for him, hopefully find him alive back there, and then assess the situation, then come back out, and they were going to figure out how to get this hypothermic diver out. It turned out when he got there, the diver was fine and said, "Let's get the heck out of here." So the two of them just swam it out, and the whole thing was over in about 20 minutes. And Mike, the owner of Kiss Your Breathers, was just kind of standing there in his dry suit, and thankfully didn't have to do anything.
That is a great way for things to end, you know, when you
and
have
actually,
a mission
like that.
And
actually, I think it's actually the fifth rescue that Ed Sorensen has performed in underwater cave diving, and not recoveries, but actual rescues, which is, you know, absolutely unheard of. He's just a phenomenal guy.
Yes. Well, we are. We've talked to him before about getting him on the show. We just haven't, been able to work it out just yet. But that'll happen eventually. But yeah, he's like a super diver. Well, kind of like
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely, and a wonderful, know? And just an absolutely wonderful guy.
Yeah, Absolutely. Well, when he does stuff like that, it's great. But, you know, we were talking about when we heard about the story that the guy waiting, and like I said, he had to wait for like 25 hours or 27 hours or something. I mean, what is going through his head? He must be driving himself insane.
Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, I know. Apparently, they said he was quite calm when he got there. And he, you know, I guess, I wasn't there, but from what I've heard from Mike, it sounded like he was confident that people knew where he would be and they would come get him. So he was just biding his time. But I wouldn't be that cool under pressure. Luckily, he was that kind of a guy. Otherwise, probably you and I would have panicked and drowned trying to get our way out or something. Well, he actually stayed very calm and collected and did the right thing.
Well, he knew what to do. I mean, he usually is the guy rescuing other folks, like the kids in Thailand, the soccer team and stuff. I mean, was that part of the scuttlebutt that was happening on Aztec? Were they talking about that whole thing or not so
actually,
much?
Actually, that occurred afterwards. So that the right Aztec after. Was back in mid to late March. So a few weeks ago. So it actually happened maybe 2 or 3 weeks after the Aztec event.
Got it. Dr. Doug Ebersol is our guest right now on Scuba Radio. We got more with him next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Power, simplicity, reliability. It's what you demand of your dive computer, and Shearwater delivers. Shearwater evolved out of one tech diver's need for a reliable, easy-to-use rebreather dive computer and quickly became the tech market leader. Now recreational divers have taken notice. The Shearwater Terek is the best, most intuitive, and reliable wristwatch-sized dive computer on the market. Check it out in the entire line at Shearwater.com. Shearwater. Dive computers for demanding divers.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo with a buddy or group. Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explorer Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explorer Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explorer Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
So they get me out on this boat and they start to passing out the gear. They hand me my flippers, fins there, and I slip them on. Then they give me my mask. Now I'm about to put my mask on. When I look over, and I see 23 people spit into their mask. I'm going, now what is this for? But I figured it was one of them life-saving techniques. So I put a lot of spit in my mask because I didn't want to get down there and run out.
Well, I'm on the deep end.
Sure, why not? We're divers. We got to use some boats and ropes and God knows what else sometimes. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving, and I have Dr. Doug Ebersol with us right now. He's talking about Aztec that happened a couple weeks ago there in Australia. He's back, and you're packing up your dive gear right now for another adventure. Is that right, Dr. Doug?
Yeah, we are headed down to inner space. Actually, this year it's in Little Cayman. This always put on by Dive Tech every year. This is their 15th year. So they're moving it from Grand Cayman to Little Cayman this year, which ought to be fun. Investigating the deeper parts of the walls off Little Cayman.
Well, that sounds pretty awesome. We'll get into a little bit of that in just a bit, but I want to go back to Australia, because you were telling me during the commercial break that not only, you know, you didn't get to do any diving, but you did take part, or you and your wife took part in a like virtual dive or virtual reality thing there at Oztec,
yeah.
Or what?
Yeah, my wife is not real fond of the fact that I'm a cave diver. She doesn't really care for that sort of thing, but at the Oztec, the Australian Cave Diving Association had actually gone through and three-dimensionally mapped a segment of cave in Australia, and then made it into a virtual reality experience. So you could actually, on the show floor, kind of by all the booths and so forth, they had some cave lines set up, and you put these virtual reality glasses on, and you basically would follow the line as if you're diving in a cave. And they gave you a dive light, which was a virtual reality thing as well. And what you're seeing is wherever you're pointing the light, that's what's lighting up inside the cave. Swim around things. At one point, they have simulate a silt out where you can't see and you keep moving, and all of a sudden everything clears up. It's about a 15 or 20 minute kind of little walk around kind of thing. It was actually fascinating. My wife actually thought it was fantastic. I joked with her that was her first actual cave dive of sorts.
Right. Well, you've been there, done that. So, you know, you were comparing it to the real thing. So you were not totally sold on the idea, or thought, well, it was cool.
I thought it was a cool idea. I enjoyed it. It obviously was different than, you know, actually diving, but it was actually very cool. I convinced her to give it a try, and she absolutely thoroughly enjoyed it. So
now is she ready to go cave diving with you, or she still say, oh,
nah, she'll do the caverns, but she's not going to do caves. She'll be down in interspace diving a rebreather with me. She's a rebreather diver, so that'll be fun.
She's very accomplished, but she sounds like me. The cave thing kind of, you know, I like it to a certain extent, but I'm kind of like, you know, unless you want to really commit to it, you can't make that decision lightly. Is that a fair assessment of getting into that?
Yeah, I agree. I think lots of people do it for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Some people are in it for the true exploration, which is, you know, my hat's off to those people. That's, you know, taking line into Virgin Cave and you don't know where things go, and that's not my interest, but it is for some people. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
For me, it's more of just more of the technical aspect of doing things well and doing the jumps and not silting things up. And it's the way I got into it originally was a lot of people I was training on rebreathers were cave divers, and they were by far the most skilled divers I'd ever been with. And I said, look, that, you know, if this is the kind of skills that you developed with cave training, that I wanted to kind of pursue that. So I pursued it, and I don't do that many cave dives a year. I probably dive 100 dives a year, and of that, maybe 20 or so are cave dives, something like that. So it's definitely not the majority of my dives. I'm more like you. I'm more of a warm water, kind of pretty fish at heart.
Right. Well, there you go. And you know, the thing is, the skill set, though, it applies to whatever type of diving you're doing. So it definitely would make you a better diver regardless.
Oh, absolutely. I think everybody should at least think about it. At least everyone should think about doing cavern diving. And I don't mean just going and diving in a cavern, but I mean taking cavern training, which gives you some of the basics of cave diving without actually being in a cave environment. A lot of the buoyancy, the trim, the fin kicks, the laying of line, you know, this sort of thing. And just kind of gives you a real appreciation of what kind of environment you're in, especially all the divers that are here in Florida, because, you know, like your typical thing, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
Taking a cavern course is actually very interesting and kind of gives you a real appreciation of kind of what's out there.
What goes into it. And once again, you can apply that to a wreck or God knows what else. Or, you know,
exactly.
And you just kind of file it away and you have it in, you know, back in the repository in case, God forbid, you get into a jam and you're like, oh, wait, I did that in a cave diving course. I can do this, you know, so it's always good stuff to continue to educate yourself in the diving realm for sure. Now you're heading over to inner space. That's the next adventure for you. And they've moved it over to Little Cayman. So that event is just a bunch of rebreather divers coming together and just having like crazy amount of bottom time or what?
Yeah, it's a great event. They've had, like I said, for 15 years now. It used to be run at Cobalt Coast when Dive Tech was there, and then they've kind of parted ways in terms of that for the resort. So it's been at the Holiday Inn in Grand Cayman the last couple of years, And then now, since this is the 15th year, they've decided to kind of do a special thing and move it over to Little Cayman. It'll be at Little Cayman Beach Resort. Hmm. So the way they do it is they have three different boats that go out. So there'll be a boat for, quote, recreational rebreather divers, which will be, you know, keeping depths under 130 feet, and basically go out for a 2.5 hour dive. And then come up, as opposed to 2 1-hour dives. Then there'll be a second boat, which will be normoxic trimix, which is gas such that you're limited to about 200 feet depth. And then there's a full trimix boat, which will go down to 330. And each of those boats also kind of run 2.5 hour kind of run time. So the usual kind of day is you get up in the morning and have breakfast. You kind of get on your boat. You go out for a 2.5 hour dive, come back and have lunch, and then kind of enjoy the beach or hang out by the pool or whatever you want in the afternoon. Over at Grand Cayman, we do some shore diving occasionally in the afternoon. I think at Little Cayman, I don't think that's going to be possible. But again, it'd be just beautiful just kind of hang out by the pool or at the beach or whatever in the afternoons. And then every evening they have people give presentations. I've given a presentation on some cardiac issues of diving this year. And there'll be some exploration kind of dives and some other kind of things that kind of come up. But every night there's some sort of a little presentation after dinner.
That sounds so awesome. I mean, and you know, you got Bloody Bay Wall there in Little Cayman. I haven't been there.
Oh, absolutely. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I can only imagine being able to cruise along the line, you know, wall that deep where most divers don't get to go very often and cruise for like two to three hours. That's insane. I mean,
yeah,
it's so cool.
It's a phenomenal event. It's a really great event. And like I said, and people, you know, open circuit divers are welcome to come. You know, people that are open circuit divers that are kind of interested in rebreathers can go and dive open circuit, and they'll be on the recreational boat doing 2 kind of 1-hour dives. Yeah. But if you're a rebreather diver, it's just an absolute phenomenal event.
Definitely on the list. We're going to make it happen at some point. Bubble Boy and CJ want to join me, and we're going to work with Dr. Doug here in the future and make that happen. All right, Dr. Doug, always a pleasure.
Enjoy the scuba show.
We will. We got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. All right. So, look, I have heard from Josh Gates' people at Expedition Unknown. It does look like we're going to get him on the show today. So stick around for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Also, you know, last week we were talking to Zale Perry. She was over there in Catalina at the Avalon diving exhibit there with John Council and his crew. And a really neat thing. If you ever head over to Catalina, see that diving exhibit there in the casino facility. It's pretty cool. But, you know, if you really want to go to the Mount Everest of diving history, you got to go to the History of Diving Museum down in Isla Mirada, Florida. We have, the big cheese right now. It's Lisa Mongilia. Did I say the name right, Lisa?
You did, Greg. Thanks so much.
Is the official title Big Cheese, Big Kahuna? What do you prefer? What do you think?
Well, actually, Dr. Sally Bauer is our founder, and she is the Big Kahuna.
Okay.
And our president of our nonprofit. I am the executive director and on-site here in Isla Mirada.
Well, there you go. You make it run like a fine oiled machine. Yeah, come on, take the credit, Lisa. You should.
Thank you. I can't take the credit. We have a team of people, a team of staff that make sure that when you visit the History of Diving Museum, which, by the way, covers 4,000 years of diving history and exploring under the sea.
Amazing.
And our staff of our collections manager, our curator, our retail staff, everybody is here to serve our visitors who come to the museum and see our exhibits.
Well, you know, despite my best efforts, you know, you can tell Lisa knows her stuff. She's been making waves in the industry. I've been hearing about this for many years now. I've been down there a couple times for a real brief visit, but I was just blown away by what I saw. And they obviously have a pretty good sense of humor, too, because a couple years ago for our 20-year anniversary, we did a little spoof on April Fool's Day and And she played right along. God bless them. You know, they're a great group of folks. But, hey, this History of Diving Museum is a big deal. We're going to tell you more about it with Lisa and the gang there from that place in Isla Mirada, Florida. Next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Remember, you're swimming right now. Enjoy it. Don't grab for the water, man. Relax and just float. This is awesome.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to scuba diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We have Lisa Mongilia on. They call you Lisa. What nickname they call you because I can't pronounce your last name?
Lisa Mongi. A lot of times I hit a dive boat and it's Lisa Mongi.
See, I can yes. think of Jumanji, Lisa Mongi. That would be so much easier. Just change your name and make it easier for everyone, Lisa.
There you go.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, obviously they're great folks, as you can tell by the leader down there at the History of Diving Museum. We had Sally on the show, actually. We had a nice little interview with her at the Beneath the Sea show in Secaucus a few weeks ago.
Nice.
And it was her, you know, this was her brainchild or her exhibit things that she'd started to put together or what?
So Dr. Sally and Dr. Joe started collecting. They happened upon a helmet in an antique store over 40 years ago, and it kind of started the collecting bug. These days, they would be on probably one of the programs called Hoarders.
Yes.
Luckily for us, they expanded their collection, and the History of Diving Museum is unique in the fact that it literally has, like I mentioned, 4,000 years of history of a man's quest to explore under the sea. So that's from early breath-holding, early writings from Gilgamesh, through commercial diving, through actually what was used an open-bottom diving hood. An open-bottom helmet in the 1910s is really what started recreational diving. Put this helmet on, go down, walk on the ocean floor, and see what treasure hunters see. See what marine biologists see. That was before fins were invented or where swim diving was invented.
Wow.
And then the exhibits go around, and you actually have to get three-quarters of the way through the exhibits before you ever get to recreational diving and the rebreather technology.
How about that? So you're talking about like when Jacques Cousteau and the development of the regulator and all that stuff happened, or well, and there's even some controversy there. I mean, you guys cover that little element there too a little bit or dabble?
We
or what?
Do. Yeah. We do. Actually, the first patents for demand regulators started in the 1800s.
Well, that was a little bit before Jacques Cousteau's time, wasn't it?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's the benefit of going to a museum that covers everything. There are other museums, and we love to visit those. There's a scuba diving museum. There's military museums, submarine museums. But the unique thing about our location is it kind of spans all of that history to give you a fuller picture of what really happened.
Yeah. Well, and I got to say, it's you know, situated perfectly as a really nice, you know, surface interval distraction during a dive vacation in the Florida Keys right there in Isla Mirada. What is the mile marker, by the way? It's 10.
We're at mile marker 83. It's right next door to Ziggy's, which is one of the premium restaurants located in the Keys. We're right down the street from Lorelei's. Can't get a better sunset from there. So, you know, there's just a lot of easy locations that are around the History of Diving Museum. Go out on a boat in the morning, come to us in the afternoon, or sleep in, come to the museum, go through it, and then catch your afternoon dive. It's easy peasy.
Yeah, and it's really worth multiple visits, too. I mean, it's a really nice big facility. You could spend hours in there or just zip through real quick if you're just got a few minutes and then come back a little later. It's really
right.
a neat facility for sure. Now, what about the other things that you guys do? Because you're doing like monthly meetings and you know, seminars and stuff that people can participate in as well, right?
We have a lot of different events, and actually, I'm glad that you brought that up. So if you're on a vacation in the Keys, the third week of the month is always a free Immerse Yourself presentation on Wednesday nights. That's been going on since the doors opened in 2005. So on the third Wednesday of every month, it's a wide variety of topics. We've had speakers from all over the world come in, both people that we know, Stephen Frank, Frazier, Dan Orr, a lot of Women Diving Hall of Fame people. Dr. Sally has given talks, as well as local sanctuary, NOAA, Fish and Wildlife. We try to do a plethora of topics to keep everybody interested and give new knowledge.
Yeah, you can really mix it up. And all this stuff is up on the website, divingmuseum.org, I believe, right? Isn't that what
divingmuseum.org, yes.
Yeah, so you can find out more about these upcoming seminars or just give them a call. Say, hey,
right.
I got a vacation coming up next month. Is there anything happening in particular, or should I just come and get tickets and go and enjoy the afternoon or whatever it is you plan to do?
Right.
And sometimes you guys actually even go out diving too, don't you?
We do, and actually some of our speakers, John Christopher Fine comes down about annually. He gives a talk. He's an author. He writes a lot of stories, but he also dives while he's down here. So sometimes you can dive with the speaker as well as the immerser, you know, come to hear the talk. And some of them are on military bases, World War II, World War I kind of things. But in addition to our Immerse Yourself program, we have a Dive into History weekend events. And they're quarterly, bi-monthly. You know, they're kind of scattered around. The next one that we have is actually going to be May 18th, and it's focusing on Dive into Your Sanctuary. We're located in the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary. There's been a lot of things going on down here after Irma, a lot of reef cleanups, a lot of fish surveys, you know, with the lobster industry going on, and, you know, just different aspects. So the weekend is going to focus on a presentation in the morning, followed by an optional afternoon dive on some of our local treasures. And then usually on Sunday, we have specialized tours. It happens to be Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. So we have a great themed scavenger hunt for the ladies, and moms are free.
Well, there you go.
On Sunday.
That,
yeah.
That is, you know, as you can tell, they got a ton of stuff going on top of the fact that you just go into the History of Diving Museum down there in Isla Mirada and just enjoy yourself and learn a little bit about the history of what we all love to do, which is go scuba diving, and getting some of that background information will only make you a more rounded diver for sure. You know, Lisa, a pleasure. We're going to have to get down there over the next few months and do something with you guys on Scuba Radio. But in the meantime, keep it rocking. And gosh, I wish you the best of luck. It sounds like you're having a good time. And the weather's probably great down there in the Keys as always today, right?
It is. It is. You know, it. And we'd love to thank the Tourism Development Council for everything that they do to help promote the Keys, to support the History of Diving Museum, and help with our events. So TDC rocks.
There you
as
go.
Well.
Lisa Mongi. We're just going to go with that. Divingmuseum.org is the website. Lisa, have a great day. Thank you so much for being on Scuba Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Always. Now, let's switch gears a little bit and head across the pond. We got Roz from the UK connected via Skype. Roz, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Greg. I'm very well. This morning, I got an unexpected package.
Ooh, those
arrived.
Fun. Yeah, a little surprise, did you? What was it?
A book. It's proper James Bond stuff as well. It's called Crabgate, and it's by a guy called John Bevan. Hmm. And in the mid-1950s, Khrushchev came and visited the Russian president came and visited the UK, and he arrived on a ship into Portsmouth Harbour.
Okay.
And a chap called Lionel Crabbe, Commander Lionel Crabbe. He was known as Buster Crabbe.
Buster Crabbe, huh? All right.
Yeah.
I like that. All right, go ahead.
He was a frogman, and he went on a spying mission for MI6 mm-hmm. underneath a Soviet warship in Portsmouth Harbour, and he disappeared.
Ooh.
And there was a massive cover-up about it. So he disappeared, let me see, in April 1956.
Okay.
And a few months later, on the 3rd of November 1956, so nearly 7 months after he vanished, his body was dredged up, got caught in a net, And came up in Emsworth Harbour, which is very close to Portsmouth Harbour. And there was this big hush up in the press that it was absolutely essential that the finding of body was not to be disclosed to the press. And this was all covered up. And it only started coming to light in the last few years. And John Bevan's written this amazing book about it. And it's really, really good, very well written, black and white reference book all about this story and the mystery. And, you know, there's even controversy about was his headstone changed and moved, where he's buried in Milton Cemetery.
So Busta Crabbe's kind of like a James Bond kind of thing from back in the 50s era in your neck of the woods is what you're telling me. And it's like the ultimate diving spy mystery kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I like the sound of that. Well, you have a nice chunk of reading to catch up on right now. You're just excited to read it is what you're telling me.
Very much so, because I used to live in Portsmouth and I used to teach scuba diving in Portsmouth. Where he's buried is about a 10-minute walk from where I used to live.
You know what? You got to read the book and tell us about it and report back accordingly here on Scuba Radio. But we got to talk about Sunset House, weasel diving. We'll find out what that's about and maybe getting a piece of the Britannic. That's next with Roz from the UK on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
There's been some articles on the web lately about how certain chemicals in sunscreens are bad for you, the environment, and are killing coral. A lot of it is overhyped marketing propaganda. Just know, Reef Safe Sunscreen by Tropical Seas has been independently tested and scientifically proven to protect you from the sun and not harm ocean inhabitants or the reefs. Since 1995, over $500,000 has been spent in testing to prove what it says it is, Reef Safe. Can other sun care companies claim this level of commitment to back up their claims? Not likely. For ReefSafe, it's not about the ingredients as much as how they work together to create a waterproof sunscreen molecule that forms a breathable film on your skin. Plus, ReefSafe biodegrades before creating issues for marine life and the coral we all want to enjoy and protect. Go with the original. ReefSafe. For more info, go to ReefSafeSun.com.
Protect the sea and you and me. ReefSafeSun.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
The Florida Keys offers many underwater attractions. However, one of those is uniquely land-based at the History of Diving Museum in Isla Mirada, Florida. The History of Diving Museum focuses on man's quest to explore under the sea and is home to one of the largest collections of historic diving equipment in the world. Immerse yourself in a free series of diving presentations and programs every month. Plan your visit now at divingmuseum.org. That's divingmuseum.org for the History of Diving Museum. Mile marker 83, Isla Mirada, Florida Keys.
Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
These people sound like they're yodeling underwater.
Underwater, 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 me, underwater, underwater, me, underwater, underwater, me, underwater.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We got Roz from the UK connected via Skype right now. She has some reading material she just received, and she will report back accordingly on the big show here in a few weeks after she has a chance to peruse the pages. However, in the meantime, she has a few other little news nuggets to share with our crew today. So what's going on with Sunset House first? I hear they're celebrating a birthday or something. Is that right in Cayman?
Yeah, that's right. So Sunset House, believe it or not, they're 60 years old.
Ooh.
They don't look a day over 45, do they?
Never, never. Not at all. So a cool place, though. I've been there a few times. So what are they doing?
they're Cayman's longest running dive operation, and they're still, you know, it's still very much a family there.
Yeah.
Well, they're busy replacing their boats. They've had diesels and V-hulls for a long time, and they're now moving to custom-built catamarans and outboards. Mm. And they've had a new Ventura 36 catamaran arrive. And Mike Pinnington, I caught up with Mike Pinnington over a beer, and he's the GM at Sunset House, and he was raving about these new boats, going, it's really quiet. They're really, really lovely. We don't have to shout over these noisy diesels. And they're really fast. So they've been able to extend where their dive sites are. They've been able to cut down on their transit times. They're doing 30 knots. And wow. Apparently these are very sexy boats, apparently, mm-hmm. I've been told.
Well, there you go. You have a nice dive platform to explore all those reefs around Grand Cayman. That ought to be pretty nice. They got an awesome tiki bar there at Sunset House, too, by the way.
So, yeah, they have. I'm hoping to go out and check it out at some point fairly soon.
Yeah, we may have to go over there and plan a little 60th anniversary visit with Scuba Radio and Roz from the UK. Maybe we can meet there at the tiki bar and then check out some of their new boats. That's pretty cool. Sunset House, just Google them. And you can find out what's going on with them for sure. Now, what's this other thing? You send me a note about weasel diving, which I'm intrigued.
They're a Brit company.
Oh, right? Okay. All right.
In 98. Mm-hmm. And the first product they launched was green, literally, because it was a bright emerald green extreme undersuit. And I had one. I was really lucky to get one. And I dived in it and I slept in it and I decorated my house in it. And I still have got it. It was a fantastic thermal piece of underwear, and it came in a weasel were ahead of their time because this came in a lightweight durable material sack. It didn't come in anything one-time use plastic. Well, Weasel have just been audited recently, and they've just got a Green Achiever Award scheme because they are now 100% single-use plastic free.
Oh, okay.
Which is great.
That's a good idea.
And what happens is the whole of a company is looked at. It's holistically evaluated. So it's not like, don't touch the coral, you know, the green thin thing. This is, do you have an environmental policy? What's your carbon footprint? Mm-hmm. Where do your drains go? How do you dispose of your plastic or your wooden pallets or your fluorescent light bulbs? Do you take back old and redundant products from your customer? What forms of energy do you use? Does your company car run on biofuels? So it's, you know, do you source your supplies locally? So it's a big thing, a really big thing to get this.
Well, that's really cool. And that's Weasel Diving Services. So people can just Google that and find out. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that brand, but I love the name, Weasel Diving.
It's a special kind of foam that's put into their products so that it keeps you warm. It's puffed up. Like, you know, the big puffy jackets?
Yeah, like those little parachute jacket things that collapse real well. But you use these as undergarments for your dry suit diving type stuff, right?
And then their stuff comes in the things like unbleached cotton duffel bags, which is a big thing. It's, you know, no plastic, which is fantastic.
I love it. Weasel Diving Services. Cool. All right. So the other thing that we're going to wrap up this hour with is evidently there's something going on with Britannic, which was Titanic's sister ship that sank.
That's right.
And you can actually own a piece of history. Is that right? What's going on over there?
Yeah, that's right. So Britannic was born into the First World War. And the government went, yes, we'll have you, please. We're going to have you as a hospital ship. Hmm. So that's why she was HMHS, Her Majesty's Hospital. Sorry, His Majesty's Hospital Ship.
Got it.
Because we had a king at that point, not a queen. So she became a hospital ship. And Harland and Wolff, who made her, said, well, we've got these fabulous panels for Britannic's first class lounge made out of seasoned oak, which are 38 years old. And we've got these beautiful second class panels, which are made out of seasoned maple. We're not going to stick these on the ship because she's a hospital ship. Right. We're going to hang on to them.
So initially it was going to be a nice cruiser, kind of like Titanic. And then they switched it, switched gears, made it a medical ship. And so they took these panels and they put them in a movie theater. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, that's right. They put them in a Dublin cinema called La Scala Theatre and the Opera House in Dublin.
Ah, okay.
And what happened was that when these were demolished, they went into a private house. Now they're being sold off. So you can have a chance of buying these ornate, luxurious furniture and fittings. But you need like £300,000 in your back pocket, really.
Oh, that's chump change for you. Come on, Roz. So you're going to redo your basement with these panels from the Britannic?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought I'd do my basement and my garage.
Right. Yeah, maybe it could even work out for a kitchen or dining room thing. But yeah, so they're doing this as an auction type of deal, like an eBay thing over there in the UK or what?
It's in Ireland, as it should be, and it's an auction.
Okay, an auction. There you go. All right.
And so they're starting at about 200,000 at the moment. Hmm. That's the guide price on them.
Well,
but who
once
knows?
Again, you know, when you do the conversion in U.S. money, that's like 250. I might be off a little bit on the conversion rate. So I'm going to just let you buy them, and then you tell us about your new remodel. Okay, Ross?
Thank you, Greg.
Yes.
That's very sweet of you.
Always. Always a pleasure to hear from you as well.
Thank you, Greg. And likewise, you too. It's been good to catch up. Look forward to speaking to you next time.
Back at you for sure. And that'll wrap up Hour 1. Hour 2 is on deck. Once again, Josh Gates from Expedition Unknown on Discovery Channel, scheduled to join us and a whole lot more. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
That's why it's hot underwater. Yeah, we
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.